Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank, and today we're doing Ted 2, which came out in 2015, and it's listed as a comedy, but we'll get into that. It stars Mark Wahlberg. Seth MacFarlane plays the teddy bear Ted. Amanda Seyfried is in this one, playing Sam Jackson. Patrick Warburton. I think John Slattery is super famous. He's from Mad Men, right? Morgan Freeman, Giovanni Ribisi. Yeah. There's some people in here.
Only a couple of those people are actually in the movie, though.
Yeah, I mean, it focuses on Mark Wahlberg and his teddy bear, and then Amanda Seyfried and Tammy Lynn, who is Ted's wife.
Yes.
The summary I have written down is, life has changed drastically for Thunder Buddies. Oh, sorry, yeah, before we get into this is Ted 2, obviously. Ted 1 came out a few years before this. I feel like it came out when we were in high school, so it was late, like 2008, maybe?
It came out 2002, so I think we'd be
Holy
in college.
Holy cow.
Oh, sorry, 2012.
Oh, okay.
So we would have been in college, I think.
Okay. So just a few years before this. Yeah. So anyway, the premise of Ted 1 was John, Mark Wahlberg, whenever he was a kid, he wished his teddy bear would come to life, and sure enough, he did. And then they just led a life of, I don't know, degeneration? I don't know. They're fucking degenerates.
Degeneracy, yeah. I think is the term.
Is that the noun? Okay. So, yeah, they just drink and, I don't know, do drugs and just lead, I don't know, less than exemplary lifestyles, so we're led to believe. But anyway, they're best friends. They're Thunder Buddies for life. Yeah, so now this is Ted 2, and life has changed drastically for the Thunder Buddies. A bachelor... well, sorry, Mark Wahlberg is now a bachelor, and his best pal, Ted, who's married to the same woman, or married to the woman of his dreams, but problems arise when they decide to adopt a child. The law declares Ted to be property and not a person, and after that, they have to seek help from a young lawyer, played by Amanda Seyfried, and a legendary civil rights attorney, Morgan Freeman, to get the justice he deserves. Yeah, I don't know. That's a terrible fucking description of this movie. This movie is... I hate to put the cart before the horse, but, you know, I feel like we have to address the elephant in the room because this movie is so fucking bad. I feel like we have to start with the ranking and then kind of get into it.
I want to address, like, seven other things first, if that's okay.
Okay. Okay. Why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so the first thing to note, right, is that Ted 1 somehow made a ton of money. Its budget was like $50 million, and it made $550 million. So Ted 1 is one of those movies that, like, I think people all know about, but I'm not sure that many people ever, like, still talk about or, like, could describe what happens in it. But it made a ton of money.
That's wild.
And the second movie made less money.
But still an incredible amount, right?
Still it was made for $70 million, it made $215 million. So that's profitable. And so this is have you seen the Ted TV show?
No, I haven't.
So there's a Ted TV show. And it's about like, it's like Ted Origins.
When he was a kid?
Yeah, where, I mean, Ted's still a bear, but Mark Wahlberg is not it. So the Mark Wahlberg character, whose name is, I don't know, Jimmy or something, John,
yeah,
is a kid in that one. And he's played by a kid who does, like, a pretty decent Mark Wahlberg, like, impression. And it's actually not a bad show, I think. And okay. I think one of the things that becomes clear is, like, this is, like, one of the plots in that show. I think it's only, like, one of those eight-episode type shows. Like, one episode is, like, he smokes weed for the first time. So it's sort of like a pre-stoner John and Ted.
Okay.
But, like, pairing Ted with a teenager seems like it makes a lot more sense than pairing Ted with a 50-year-old Mark Wahlberg. Like, because there's a lot of movies that are made for children. But this movie seems like juvenile. Like, it is immature. It is, like, weirdly, like, in a negative way.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
It is like a... You just watch it, you're like, who is this for? Like, what... Because it's quite an adult movie. It's, like, pretty vulgar.
Yeah.
There's some, like, humor that is not even, like, complicated, but just, like, racial and sexual. And you're like, oh, this isn't for a kid. Right?
I mean, the type of humor feels like it's targeting an 11-year-old. But the content of the humor is rated R. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they knew exactly what they were doing. Maybe they were like, oh, this is going to be great for 12-year-olds that sneak in to see an R-rated movie. Or, you know, some 18-year-old older brother is going to be the cool older brother to let his 12-year-old brother watch it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, the word I kept coming up with was sophomoric. It's just fucking horrible.
The first one, I remember liking a lot more. Not like I thought it was a great movie, but I found it, like, I don't think I've ever watched it a second time, but it was, like, enjoyable. There were, like, bits in there that I found fun.
Yeah.
And in this one, I did not feel that way. Well, this one, like, rehashed some old bits, and I found them less fun this time.
Oh, what were the rehashed bits?
Or I guess they were, like, a lot of callbacks, right? Like, the... I mean, the girl he marries, Tammy Lynn, is the girl he, like, fucked with the Pawsnip. Patrick Woburn, I think, was in the first one, and he's sort of, like, doing, like, his shame stick from that. There was Flash Gordon was in the first one, and he's doing some of his, like, you know, reprising some of that stuff.
Hmm.
There's just a lot of, like, callback stuff to a movie that, like, I don't think is remembered that clearly. That when you see these people show up again, you're like, oh yeah, he was probably in the first movie. Like, I guess he's probably doing his stuff again. You know?
Do you think if we watched this in 2015, it would have been funnier?
I think I would more understand what the jokes were meant to be. Like, I think the younger you are, the funnier this would be.
Yeah.
You know, this is like the first movie I've ever seen that I think I was like, I think I'm too old for this.
Is this, you know, worse than Bumblebee?
No, I mean, that movie I think is bad, but I wasn't like, this is like immature or stupid. I just thought that was poorly executed. This is just like, I'm just like, it's like, I still listen. Yeah, it's like, there's like a study I read at some point, but people's musical tastes are locked in surprisingly early.
Oh, really?
So... Like, I still listen to music from when I was a teenager. And if you hear, like, you know, one of those sort of, like, I don't know, pop punk bands we listen to or I listen to, or even, like, rappers and stuff. You know, like, when you hear Eminem still rapping about his parents when he's, like, in his 40s, you're kind of like, I don't know, man, it's like...
Maybe you let it go at this point?
Yeah, like, I get that. It sounds like you had a shitty childhood, but that was, like... several childhoods ago at this point, you know? So, and when you hear, like, you know, Blink-182, and, you know, they're, like, really upset about being a teenager, and you look it up, and it turns out they're all, like, in their 40s or something, you're like, you know, obviously they're singing those songs. Like, it's not like they're, like, writing that song today, but just kind of like, okay, this is a little goofy. And that's, like, what this seemed like. It was, like, this was a teenage stoner comedy, but one of the characters was a teddy bear, one of the characters was a 50-year-old. You know, and you're just like, I don't know, guys. I don't think this is landing.
Yeah, it was tough. I had to do it. I fell asleep twice trying to watch this movie. It's an hour and 55 minutes long. It felt like it was a 6-hour movie. It just... And here's the thing. I can't even tell you what happened in it, because I feel like nothing happened in it. Yeah.
So
like, that was point number one. What's point number two?
Oh, I mean, that was a lot of... I mean, most of what happens in this is just that Ted gets married to the Pawsnip lady, right?
His fellow cashier at the grocery store.
Yeah. And then they're having a shitty marriage, so they try to adopt a kid to fix their marriage. And then they're not allowed to adopt a kid. Right? They try to inseminate her, right?
They first go the route of... trying to find a sperm donor. Like, they break into Tom Brady's house because it's set in Boston, right? And Tom Brady's the GOAT, so they want his sperm because he's going to be a great quarterback. I don't know. But that plan fails, and then they go to the sperm bank and have that scene where Mark Wahlberg gets covered in jizz because of a, I don't know, mishap. Yeah, and then after that fails, they decide to adopt. And that's what kind of sets the movie in motion, the minimal plot that there is. Because in the background check associated with Ted's adoption paperwork, they determine Ted to not be a human. Instead, he's property, and therefore he has no legal rights. So his life basically gets canceled. His marriage gets annulled. His bank accounts get closed. And obviously there's no adoption paperwork to be had. So that's what kind of sets the movie in motion, and they seek legal counsel, which is where Amanda Seyfried pops in.
Yeah, and, like, so they go to... Yeah, so they're trying to adopt... Like, so the my point is that the marriage, like, difficulties are pretty much all solved off-screen. By the time they, like, go through this whole adoption thing, they just don't seem to care about, like... It doesn't seem like they're having trouble in their marriage anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
That was just the impetus for the adoption, but once they start doing it, none of the original problems seem to matter.
Yeah, so in essence, it's not even that the kid was able to fix the marriage. The thought of wanting the kid was able to fix the marriage, and all their problems went away. It was a miracle.
Although they do eventually get a kid, I think, right?
I believe so.
From somewhere?
Probably? I don't know. I think I kind of tuned out toward the tail end of the movie, and it sort of wrapped up like a lot of action in the last 3 minutes. They were just all right, we've been in here an hour and 55, and nothing's happened. Let's just kind of wrap it up.
So, like, the subplot that carries over from the first movie is that, what is it, Giovanni Ribisi?
Yeah.
Whatever his character's name is.
Donnie.
Who I actually thought he was the funniest part of this movie. I just thought his, like, performance was something. You know, like, I really don't like his subplot because it just seems kind of stupid.
Yeah.
He wants Ted for himself, and he's, like, working for Hasbro.
Well,
and
he was the primary villain in Ted 1, right? And he, like, kidnapped Ted and then tried to unravel him because Ted wasn't Donnie's, but Donnie wanted a Ted of his own. So he was like, okay, I'll just kill Ted, find out what makes him alive, and I'll go get a Ted of my own once I know the secret. And he basically carried that into the second movie, but now he works for Hasbro.
Right. So, yeah, it's basically doing the same thing. But, like... He was, like, his performance, he's, like, he's only really in it a little bit. They basically cut to Hasbro over and over, and he's trying to convince the Hasbro people to, you know, take Ted and sell more Teds or something.
Yeah, he wants to convince the CEO to do what he tried to do in Ted 1 and mass produce Teds so that every kid in the country can have a Ted.
Yeah, I mean... But so I in general liked his performance, but I just think the subplot of whatever they're having him do is just so stupid that I don't know. It's really goofy. It also should be noted that the plot of this, I mean, so they go to Amanda Seyfried, whose character is Sam Jackson, which they find hilarious. And you would have thought that I wonder if they ever tried to get Samuel Jackson as the Morgan Freeman character.
Ooh, that would be funny.
As just, like, older black guy lawyer. But, like, they pull up to her. She's, like, I think it's, like, the guy's niece who he says will do it for pro bono, trying to get Ted, you know, citizenship. And she, like, pulls out a bong and starts smoking in front of them. And this is, like, why they like her for some reason. But it's, like, she seems to be a serious person. Even if she's, you know, also a young lawyer who's a stoner. And, like, why would that be the character? You know, like, what level of, like, unprofessionalism would a character, like, would a lawyer have to just start, like, getting high in the middle of fucking a meeting? Like, I don't understand what's going on in that scene. Like, what's the thought process there?
Well, so they walk in, and they're, you know, trying to convince the lawyers to take their case, and the lawyer's like, okay, I'll let my niece do it. And they walk into her office and they start making fun of how young she is because they are, what, in their late 40s, right? And they're just they just start making fun of how youthful she is, and they're like, we don't think this is going to work out. This is pretty serious for us. We don't want to fuck around. And then she pulls out the bong, and they're like, you know what? No, we're going to stay. This is great. So, yeah, I'm not sure why that's the reason they stay. You know, if they really cared about the case, it seems that they would maybe want somebody else who doesn't smoke pot in front of clients. I don't know, because what if she just pulls out the bong in the middle of court, you know?
Yeah, it's not like that she smokes weed and you're like, oh, obviously this person can't be taken seriously, but it's like, she does it at an inappropriate time. And it's not like she does it, like, it's not like they notice a bong sort of like if she had, like, you know, some kind of bookshelf and she had some kind of, like, law-themed bong or something that they, like, noticed was a bong and then trusted her because they have a weird trust of stoners.
Yeah.
But also didn't, like, show that she was just kind of being a clown, I would be, like, more into it. But it's like, she seems to take this really seriously, and they seem to really want this to happen. But the reason for bonding with her is literally just that she gets high in front of them in the middle of a client meeting that was a 3-minute meeting. It's not like she, like, you know, couldn't have done it later. So I don't know. I mean, I just found that pretty goofy. She's also a lot younger than Mark Wahlberg, and of course is the love interest later on. And I feel like usually that doesn't, like, I guess she's only, she's 14 years younger than him, which is pretty significant. She looks young too, and he looks kind of older in this, but, like, they also seem from, like, different generations. So it's, Mila Kunis is probably the same age, but, like, who is his wife or girlfriend in the first one? I think they get married maybe at the end. But, yeah, she's 40s. I mean, she's actually, is she older than Renee Zellweger?
Yeah, I think that violates the half your age plus seven rule.
Yeah, she's actually older, so, I don't know. She was very young, and she wasn't, I like her usually. She didn't really have a lot to do in this movie, and also wasn't particularly good. They, like, she's not really in it that much. Like, she's in it, but, like, I don't know. Like, none of her parts are a thing. They go on, like, they get, like, lost in the woods, right? And they, like, find some weed in the woods, and then camp out for a night is, like, the major time they spend with her.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole case that happens, and then there was some weird reason. Like, I had one, it was going to be one of my questions, because they lost the first case. And I was like, oh, okay, great, so you can just appeal. And then they layered in that apparently they can't appeal for some weird reason. So, yeah, now they're going to, I guess, federal court. They're going to solicit the help of Patrick Meegan, played by Morgan Freeman. Yeah, and that's the road trip where they find this field of weed. And I don't know, she had that weird guitar scene where she was, like, playing piano, drums, and guitar at the same time. There was, like, background music to her playing guitar. That's, yeah, how magical she was.
She has a song on the soundtrack called Mean Old Moon. This is such a weird, such a strange movie.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I guess I'm just not in, like, I never liked Pineapple Express or any of those, like, stoner comedies. And I don't even remember Ted 1 being that much of a stoner comedy.
No, I don't think it's stoner. Like, because Pineapple Express was funny, but,
that's not the case.
You don't think Pineapple Express was good?
No, that was a terrible movie. That was for idiots. Idiots who were also high. It was so dumb. You could tell if you ever, at any point during your movie, start listing strains of marijuana, you have a bad movie. That's never been funny. It's never been interesting. It's never been good.
Oh, what about Baked in Brooklyn? That was a good movie.
That was not a good movie. that's one of the, like, the quick ways you can tell. Once they start talking about different kinds of weed strains and they're just saying nonsensical compound words, it's like, okay, guys, we are done with humor. Humor has been done here. So, I don't know. So they, I don't know. They do a bunch of, like, weed stuff. I also want to sort of go back to the first movie is mostly just, like, Ted and John hang out, you know, and that's, like, how this movie sort of starts off before it decides it needs a plot. And, like, that's, I think, sort of the best part of these movies. Or that was the best part of the first movie, I'd say. I think it didn't work as well this time. But it's just like, it's sort of like doing Family Guy style humor. Like the type you would see when they have like Brian and Stewie, or just maybe, what's the main guy? Peter and Brian. Just like go together. You know, go off together. And like, I think that worked a lot better in the first episode, or the first movie, I guess. But then in this movie, it was like, they make a bunch of jokes about porn. Like, it's like, he has a lot of porn on his computer, and they had to destroy the computer because it's too much porn. He says everything he searched for, he comes up with black cocks. In gay bathroom sex. I remember, like, multiple times. Yeah, they talk about that. I remember, like, in Happy Endings is a joke where, I think Damon Wayans, or, you know, his wife is talking to him, and he thinks she's mad at him, and he just, you know, goes, like, you know, a person's internet history is not really a reflector of their, you know, taste or something. And she goes, oh, yeah, I know. You know, you search for a pair of black frocks, and one typo, you could end up anywhere. And he goes, yeah, I was doing some research on canals, and you wouldn't believe what I felt. Like, that's like that. That's like a joke. They make a joke, like, that I think works in that thing. And yeah. This one, they just say black cocks, like, 12 times. Which is, like, you know what that is? That's fucking Cards Against Humanity humor.
Yeah.
Which is just, like, saying words. And it's always, like, what if we just say, you know, something, I don't know, out there. Like, something... not even offensive, just something, I don't know, scandalous at the end of any sentence. It's just like, oh, he does a lot of porn. Oh, gay bathroom. Like, it's like, who is this for? Like, is this for people who don't have access to porn? Like, I don't know. Also, there's a thing where they say Mark Wahlberg likes Asian teens at some point, which I only noted because Mark Wahlberg had a thing in his youth where he beat up a Vietnamese man. I think it's sometimes said he blinded the man. I don't think that's actually true. I think the man was blind before Mark Wahlberg attacked him. I don't know if that makes it better or worse, but it's definitely something. He also beat up some black children, I guess, and yelled racial slurs at them. He did a lot. He got up to a... But the Asian guy in his youth, I just... When they talked about... when they mentioned Asian teens, I just always think of... there's always, like, the bits on Twitter where they talk about, like... sometimes they're talking about police, and they're like, you know, police do a lot of good work to, I don't know, stop violence or something. Search for, like, 40% of, you know, 40% of police and then violence, and it's always, like, to a study. It's supposed to, like, trick you into searching for the study that is, like, about 40% of police beat their wives. And I sort of, like, that same construction is what I thought if, like, someone was to search for, like, Mark Wahlberg, Asian teenager, they would find Mark Wahlberg assaulted an Asian man as a teenager. And, like, for some reason, this movie decided to put that bit in this movie, like, unintentionally. But, I don't know. So, yeah, a lot of bad humor in the first, but a lot of, like, it's like if, I mean, they had to animate all this, but, like, it's like they were just ad-libbing, and they just never took a second go at it. Like, I just don't know. Like, it was really, like, first... like, Seth MacFarlane... I think Family Guy's really good.
Yeah.
I like... I know a lot of people, like, still hate... I don't know if I'm current with it, but there's a lot of, like, early Family Guy stuff that's really good. And I think, like... I mean, American Dad, I think, is really funny. I think Seth MacFarlane, in general, makes a lot of, like, good stuff.
Yeah.
And I think the Ted Show has, like, some good humor. I heard the Orville was good. I think Seth... and I think Mark Wahlberg does, you know, some good stuff. I mean, I really, the other guy is one of my favorite movies. Like, you know, Mark Wahlberg is not a person I dislike as a comedic actor.
Yeah.
Although I am reading about all his legal issues, so it's hard to really praise him too much here.
Okay.
And, you know, and then you just... you see this stuff, and you're like... I mean, yeah, again, it's like the time... It's sort of like the time when you're like, okay... but, you know, how long does Cards Humanities last? Because, you know, I can only see, like, the biggest, blackest dick so many times before, like, okay, guys, maybe we'll try to make an actual joke here and not just, like, have larger and larger dicks every round. Like, I don't know. It just, it's that exact style of humor. And, like, it just wasn't, there was, again, the grocery store lady saying something I'm not going to repeat. and she says it twice, and they like lampshade it. They're like, oh, you said it twice. It's like, but you put this terrible joke in your movie and then just like lampshaded that it was terrible. It's like, don't do that. Like, don't make bad jokes in your movie. Like, you can just make good ones. You can do anything.
Yeah. You know? Maybe 3 years wasn't enough time between movies. To think of more jokes, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, they think of Fresh Family Guy jokes every week, I guess. Yeah. Like, I don't know how many episodes come out of a year. I don't know. But, like, I don't know. They went this, like, weird stoner humor route that, like, I just don't think was a big part of... Like, they find a big field of weed at some point, and, like, they're really just into weed this whole movie. And it's like, this guy's too old for that, and also the other one's a teddy bear, so you just kind of, like... I don't know. I don't know what's going on in terms of that, but, like, why is that such a big part of the movie? Like, who decided that?
You know, at what age do you think playing the penis game reached its peak? You know, somebody whispers penis, and then by the end of it, it's who in class can scream penis.
Like, as a thing to do?
Yeah, as, like, an activity. Do you remember playing that game in, like, maybe fifth grade or sixth grade?
I remember doing that in middle school.
Okay. Yeah, that's who this movie is just one big fucking penis game. That's the type of humor it was. And it's really targeting sixth graders.
Yeah.
And it was trash.
It's like the exact, it's like, if you find certain words inherently funny, this movie says all those words at some point. You know?
Yeah.
But if you want words to be like formulated into a joke, this movie does not do that. And also, here's the other thing. And honestly, this might be the last thing about this movie, because there's really not much to it.
Yeah.
The structure of this movie is set up that Ted is not a person, he's property. And it's framed as a civil rights case. And it's phrased as like, I don't know if they reference it directly in the movie, but it is apparently in the, like, the notes, as of the Dred Scott, you know, decision. Which is like, it's weird to have this movie directly reference, like, slavery and people as property. Not, like, just reference it, but, like, have that be, like, the subject matter it's dealing with. I don't know why it's dealing with that. It, like, doesn't need to. Like, this isn't something we need to litigate. But it decided to. And then, like, it just treats it, like, with no regard at all. Like, it's such a stupid fucking movie that occasionally just tries to give, like, speeches about civil rights, but, like, from the perspective of a teddy bear? It was like, who is this for? Like, it was, like, one writer just, like, going rogue and just, like, decided that this was going to be, like, a serious civil rights thing in between the stoner comedy? Like, why just even touch on it? I don't know. Like, you could just have the same plot without, like, making direct references to, like, actual civil rights cases and having, you know, your old black civil rights lawyer at the end. But, like, they didn't do that. They decided this should be, like, a serious thing. Like, I could not believe that was, like, the direction they were going half the time. Because that's not what this movie was. This movie was, like, a joke. It was, like, I don't know. It's not like it's a movie that, like, had a heart at the end. You're like, okay, this comedy had some things to say. It didn't have any things to say. It just talked about things, you know?
Yeah. It was tough. It was painful to get through. I had to do it on three separate occasions.
Three separate? I don't know how you did that.
Yeah.
This is one where I started taking notes, and then you can see that my notes just basically stop, like, 30 minutes in. And then at the end, I'm like, okay, let me try to note down what's happening here. But, like, I just... Because nothing was happening. It was... The movie just sort of evaporated. It was, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it was so thin.
As soon as I finished it, I was like, okay, I'll just try to watch it one time through. And then, you know, whenever we go to record the episode, I'll remember a couple things. And then I finally got through the movie and I was like, okay, should I watch that again and maybe take some notes because I have nothing to say? And I thought that would be so painful. I can't do it. So we're just going with it. Yeah. It's definitely a nephew. This is squarely in nephew territory. Don't recommend it in the slightest. I wouldn't even recommend it if you're 11. If you're 11, there's plenty of funnier movies. and you don't have to stoop to this level of humor. If you've never heard anything in your life, if you've never seen a comedy movie whatsoever, you might find it egregiously laughable if you're 11 again. But outside of that, it is complete dog shit, and I regret having watched it. I'm not sure who recommended this one for our group. It might have been me.
This was a Tank's choice, I think.
Oh, it was? Yikes. Oh, I'm sorry to us.
It's like, if the first one was your favorite movie ever, I would still skip this one. Just so you can continue liking the first movie. Because, like, this just ruined it. I don't know. I love, like, the three main actors I really kind of enjoy. And I just had so much trouble enjoying this. And the problem is, like, if you it's a comedy where if you don't find it funny, there's just nothing else. So it's just, like, you're sitting there just, like, bored out of your mind.
They let the jokes hang. Like, they would say the joke, and then there would be nothing on screen for, like, 6 seconds. They would just say the joke and then let it sink in. And I guess they're pausing for comedic effect, and I'm just like, was that supposed to be funny? You just said dick.
Yeah, like, the number of things where, like, you're just supposed to laugh because they say Blackhawks is, like, three separate scenes. You know? Like, that's the guy, they're like, this is a good recurring bit. And I was like, oh no. Like, these guys all make comedy. It's so weird. Like, did no one watch this once it was done? You know?
Do you think there were multiple writers? You said one of the writers went rogue. Are there multiple writers credited with this?
Actually, I think Seth MacFarlane is the only writer.
Yeah, okay. Well, sucks, Seth, you know. This was
there are three writers. There's three writers on this. The same people who wrote the first one.
Wow.
I don't know what else. And they also worked on Family Guy. And that's the weirdest thing. It's like, the first one was more Family Guy. This was like, I don't know, a different type of thing that was largely nothing, I guess. But I don't know. Listen, yeah, not a great one. We'll try to do better next time. Although it really was not fault, too. I think it was there's nothing to talk about. This wasn't a movie.
It wasn't a movie.
This is so unserious. It's like not a good outing for them. Like, I had never seen this. I actually watched the show relatively recently and found it like had a decent amount of charm and like some like heart to it, and it had like stoner jokes because it's like a kid smoking for the first time, but it was more appropriate because the kid was 16. You know, but like this, it's like a 50-year-old man who just thinks like stoning is the most interesting thing in the world. And he's like, that's not true. Like, that's not the case. I don't know, man. Okay. Well, yeah. I think that's all we got. I think this was a quick 30 minutes.
This is just a quick header. Yeah.